Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brothers. Again, it's like five for five things working. Oh, my levels are a little high, though. Drop that down a little bit.
No, it's not your levels. It's me with my damn phone on.
No, but I never mind.
All right.
We're off to a great start, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, it's Sunday. Cut us some slack.
Yeah, exactly.
Sunday fun day.
Long weekend.
Sunday fun day.
And we're far away from each other because there's no Joe in between us today.
Nope. What did he do? He ran a...
Was it a half marathon?
No, I think it was a full marathon.
Oh.
He ran a full marathon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's banged up.
He's shot the shit. But
hey, at least we got two Joes on the comments right now. We got Joseph Schultz and Joseph Van Hove. So
let's start it up.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudger.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
Today's episode, we're going to do an alternate universe. Today's alternate universe is going to be, how would Freemasonry fare if there was a second American Civil War? I'm bringing this up, we're going to talk about it because we've talked about the apocalypse and all that. We've talked about robo-masons and everything, but
that was a good one.
This one is pretty, I don't want to say it.
This could go a number of different ways, I
think.
This
has been talked about quite frequently in recent times about... Yep. Revolution, Second American Civil War, and all this crap. Me, for one, think that's all bullshit. Mama wrong again. And why do I think it's all bullshit? Because everybody's a keyboard tough guy until it gets time to be a keyboard, to actually be a tough guy.
Yeah, that's true. And we're going to try to stay as apolitical as possible.
Correcto.
Talked about this ahead of time. Like, we're trying not to make it about politics. Just, you know, what would happen? Given the obligations and the charges we've all taken.
How would Freemasons react? How would lodges suffer? How would, or benefit? I hope there's no benefit to it. But, you know, basically we're going to break it down and we're going to use our brains, our edumacation this time.
God help
us. And we're going to use our own thoughts. But first, while Ken is reading the Instagram. Thanks to everybody who subscribed to us, likes us on Facebook and everything. We're not going to go through all the likes on Facebook because it's just gotten quite redundant. I don't even know where we started and where we left off. But if you're on there, thank you.
Yeah.
While Ken's doing that, I'm going to try to figure out what the hell's wrong. I'm going to switch chairs with Joe because I think these sons of bitches left the screws loose on my chair because.
That's not good.
Wobbly
I didn't know
shit.
It was that bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. That's kind of so, messed up. I mean, pranks are pranks, but when you're putting your brother in danger, don't do that, guys.
Yeah, I mean, look at this thing.
Yeah, okay, while George is...
nothing to it.
While George is taking care of the OSHA stuff over there. Over here on Instagram, we've got MJ Concrete, Mario.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this.
His is messed
how
up, too.
How solid it is.
Mine's pretty good.
It doesn't move. They're trying to kill me.
Daniel Gaffney. Brady Marshall, Jubilee, Harvey Gutierrez, another person who had to use Cyrillic alphabet in their names. We're going to go with Nikos, Alex Nelson, Brian Benick, and Ryan D.
It doesn't move.
Yep, and George is back in action. Maybe it's because you were too aggressive on your chair, and Joe's just ginger to his chair.
Trying to kill me, I'll
Okay.
Sit on it, Ken. Just sit on it.
I'm not going to sit on it.
Sit on a chair.
All right. Well, that's all we have over on Instagram. Thank you, brothers and friends. And while George is doing whatever he's doing, I'm going to test this chair out real quick.
Go ahead. You test that chair out because you sons of bitches tried killing me. I'm on to you. It's cool. All right. So
It's not good.
Yeah, right?
Not good. All right. You're not just being a wuss. You were right.
Yeah. Something wrong with that chair. Super loose. Like, right. I will end up on the floor with the sharp end of the bar stool bottom shoved clean
yeah,
up
my... Yeah, you know what? That's exactly how that thing would fail,
yes.
too. It would fail catastrophically.
Catastrophically, and yeah. I'll end up with the yep. damn swivel thing in my caboose.
Yeah, well, we still have the hex key for it around here somewhere, so we'll go through our crap and try to tighten it up before we leave.
Trying to kill me.
Somebody gets killed.
All right, so let's toast first Instagram.
Yeah, let's do that.
Lead it.
All right. Brethren, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire good fire, fire all.
Try to kill me.
Together, brother.
Viva, viva, viva.
I mean, who, if I was to get hurt and that chair broke, who do I send the claim to?
Yourself, I guess. Well, you're not the secretary.
Who's going to pay the workman's comp claim in this?
I don't know, man. That's for like juries and lawyers to figure out. That crap is above my pay grade.
Load him again.
I just try not to get injured. That's my goal in life. Don't worry about who to sue. Freemasons don't do that. We don't.
I'm not trying to get sued. I'm just trying to get paid people. Here.
We'll take up a collection. We'll pass the hat around.
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe that's the whole plan. They were going to retire my jersey right up there. They were going to get rid of me.
Talk about Masonic conspiracy.
Start playing In the Arms of the Angels. That's what you're up to.
Yeah, well, a picture of George, like one of those 1980s pictures where it's like the dark background.
All black and white.
Like staring up into the sky.
With the opaque American flag in the background.
Yeah.
I'm on to you. Bastards. Yep. Two Apple reviews. Thank you. We love Apple reviews. They help us. They give us ratings. We're up to 141.
I know, it's crazy, right? I love it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for everybody who's rated and reviewed us on Apple. But here we go. Frankie Da Barber. Love it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Frankie Da Barber. The Widow's Son by Apathy, 5-star review. If you're going to break down a record from Apathy, you need to listen to The Widow's Son.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Did we listen to the whole thing, though? I think we got like most of the way through it, and we're like, we'll do it next time.
No. We did all three. We did Widow's Son, we did The Grand Leveler, and we did what the hell was the third one? Legend of the Third Degree.
Yeah, we did the songs. We didn't go through the entire album.
But
we certainly could have.
We picked out the three. Hey, if you want to listen to them, it's on Apple iTunes.
Yep.
Shout out to Apathy.
Yeah, and also support him. You know, buy his album.
Absolutely. But that's a 5-star review. Thank you very much. It's awesome.
Thanks, brother.
Second one, Heath Biker. Great. Okay. 5-star review.
Cool.
Great information.
That's it.
All right.
That's
cool, though.
That's not what I think of when I think of our podcast. If that's what you think, then we'll take it. We appreciate it.
I'm not one for words either. I mean, you'd think differently because I'm on a podcast, but like I'm saying, if an incident happens at work, you say as little as I possibly can.
Right. It's bad.
It broke. What do you mean it broke? It fucking broke. I don't know what to tell you. It broke. Right?
What do you think of the podcast? It's good.
It's good.
All right. Cool. Thank you.
To Heath Biker and Frankie DeBarber. Let's toast them. Mm. Brother, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire good fire, fire all. Together, brother.
Viva, viva, viva.
Last thing. I just want to mention our Discord and Patreon. Mm. For $5 a month, you can join us on Patreon and Discord. That $5 a month will go to a new chair that these sons of bitches tried killing me on.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely going to need one of those. It's a good cause.
Yeah.
In Discord, you can, and you're going to be doing this momentarily, right? Talking about our fantasy football review, and then we'll get into the topic.
Indeed.
I could file a grievance with the Lollipop Guild. Very nice, Josh.
There you go.
Very nice, right, brother Josh.
It's a guild. I mean,
it's a good one.
They, litigate on your behalf, yes. I guess. All right, so you want to do the Freemasons podcast fantasy sports update?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Things are heating up. This is week two of the Freemasons podcast S Show League, fantasy football league, and
the S is a five letter.
It's word. Yes, it's a five-letter word.
It's a four-letter word.
Four-letter word.
Four-letter word.
That's true. Yeah, but we're not going to say it. So let's go over to the league rankings now. We'll look at...
I'm getting mollywopped right now. Bad.
You weren't doing that bad when I showed up.
Oh, I'm doing bad.
So let's look at the league matchups. Okay. So right now, number 10 ranked, We Are Korg. Looks like it's going to take down number 9 ranked, Rule Britannia, 138-112.
We'll see how that goes. I whooped their ass last
week. That's a personal one for me. Number 7 ranked, Comrade Kamish is trailing. Number 6 ranked, Fat Bastard, 125-88. Number 3 ranked, Gang Green is killing it this week, 142-104. Against 4th ranked, The English Finest. Number 6 ranked, Fat Bastard. Oh, wait. How did I do that? Oh, the standings just changed before my eyes.
Yes, they did.
All right. Number 1 ranked, Cowens is trailing. Number 5 ranked, Soul Stealers, 134-102. Here we go. Number 2 ranked, Host with the Most is trailing the Grand Poobas this week, 116-103.
Yeah.
And number 11 ranked, Dead Rabbits is actually... So Dead Rabbits is ranked number 11. Delivering Losses is ranked number 12. They're having a great week. All right. Dead Rabbits is in the lead right now, 157-127. Those are pretty big numbers for two teams that are at the very end of the standings. I'm sure that'll change before the week is over. And that is your Freemasons podcast fantasy sports update.
So just want to real quick on this. I think Joe's talked about there's various different channels in Discord that we have. And I just want to be clear about this, that we have most of our channels are open, meaning once you sign up for Patreon, Discord, you get a bunch of different channels. Like, for instance, we have a channel, it's Table Lodge Drinks, and it's just... drinks that
cocktail recipes,
And stuff like that. We have the Steward's Cookbook. Steward's Cookbook is just different recipes that people come up with, and some of the pictures freaking kill me.
The barbecue recipes that these guys like in the Midwest and stuff posted. I've used a few of them, and they know their crap.
It ain't no East Coast food. Yeah, I'll tell you that right now.
Not at all.
The Mason Jar is obviously the main one, but inside we also have Masonic Info, which is no horseplay. That is all straight Masonic info. And this Q&A isn't just, and I want to be clear, this isn't just for Masons. This is for anybody who's even not a Mason, who's looking to become a Mason, or even just somebody who just listens to the podcast and wants to support us and says, hey, you know, I'm curious about this. I'm curious about that. Yep. I've always been curious. That's what the Masonic Info channel's for.
Yep.
And I just want to be clear, when you come in, they will haze you. There is
on the Mason Jar channel, yes.
In the Mason Jar channel, there is a rite of passage. Don't join the Discord and then not say anything, but also don't come in and
think you know it all.
Think you're gonna, because they will. They are ruthless. But it's all brotherly love. It's all in good fun.
Yep.
But also, there are locked channels as well. So there's a Scottish Rite. There's a York Rite. There's the Shriners channel and the Gang Green channel.
And you've got the various degree channels, too. Entered Apprentice, FC, and do we still have those?
No. Okay. I did away with those. Never mind. I switched them over to just everybody has a different color tag. That's how you know who's
right,
what degree they're in.
And nothing. None of these are tiled channels anyway, so you're not talking secrets even if you're in a locked channel. So.
Correct. Yeah. There's a Shriners channel, so there's a whole bunch of channels in there that if you just want to go in there and meet with other Shriners or meet with other Scottish Rite Masons, it's all right there for you, your fingertips. And then every once in a while, we get on free chat.
Yeah,
which is basically a video and audio, and we
video audio chat. Yeah, anybody
if you
want
to talk to the boys, we're there.
Yep.
So
pick our brains.
Yep. And at some point, you'll get a freaking gold tone Freemasons podcast pin, except for Nippy, who lives out in I don't even know the Easter Island or wherever the hell he is. That we've sent like Island. Six of them to him, and they never freaking come.
He's in Australia, but God knows where in Australia, because apparently the Australian Post doesn't deliver there.
Right.
We do the best we can.
All right. Let's start it up.
Yeah.
You ready, Kenny?
I am.
All right. So we're going to take this from, this is, again, alternate universe. So we're going to take this from the top. Where exactly would you say a civil war would start? Is it civil disobedience? Or are we talking about actually bullets flying?
I guess we're going to have to set the stage so that we have some context around our discussion here. So, yeah, I would say...
Civil disobedience, I think, is one thing, but I'm going to go with the lawlessness. It's every man for themselves. It's you know, whatever. Call it the freaking Zulu variant of the COVID happened. People are tired of lockdowns. Molotovs start getting thrown. Cops are overwhelmed. And this is nationwide. Okay.
So can we make an assumption that we have the U.S. government, which is the government that's currently in play right now, and that there would be some sort of splinter government faction that would say, okay, well, we're, you know, we follow us because we know it's better than...
I would say...
Would there be two governments, like the American Civil War, the original American Civil War, or would it be more just...
Chaos? So...
See, and this is important.
And I want to be clear. I want to make some distinctions between a second Civil War and the first Civil War. Mm-hmm. First Civil War was states actually seceding from the Union.
Right.
This is the South. This is our line. This is our nation here. They and they were all kind
government.
Of... They had their own government. They were there.
Yep.
There was no... I guess for the better lack of... There was no intermingling. Right.
No, it started with rebellion, open rebellion, and then became, okay, right. We have a confederation of states, a government, basically.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is because a second civil war in the United States, which I don't believe will ever happen. No. I want to be clear about this.
We have no aspirations.
This is all alternate universe. You know, remember that show from like the 90s, Sliders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just kinda like Sliders.
It's just like Sliders. Yeah. So what I would say is, so we're in Sliders, right? We've used the TV remote or whatever the hell he had and slid to the other alternate universe. That's what this is all about.
Okay. All right.
So I don't think a second civil war would look like a traditional civil war. To me, it would more look like an American Revolutionary War, where you had Tories intermixed with patriots, literally.
Mm. And you didn't know who was
you
who.
You didn't know who was who.
Yeah.
That's what I think would happen. Okay. And that's what I'm going with. I also think it would be a lot of... You'd have the government of the United States of America definitely go into martial law, try locking everybody down, and you're going to have states who are not going to be okay with that, and you will have states that will secede, but realistically, they're going to be standalone states, not forming a confederacy, but pretty much on their own.
Okay.
We
can go with that as our.
That's where I think it would be. It would be, for lack of a better word, it would be a shit show.
It would not be good.
Really bad.
Yeah.
You'd see many of the Midwestern states, and this is my opinion. You'd see many of the Midwestern states be like, "Oh, okay, you're gonna lock us down? We'll up your ass.
Yeah. No more.
We're not sending food for you because that's exactly what the big cities need is food because they can't grow their own. Yes. They would just stop selling the food.
Yep.
You know, vice versa. You're also going to be like, okay. You're going to see the big cities and all the big corporations be like, okay, guess what? You ain't getting no money for those goddamn farms either.
Yeah.
And it would kind of devolve from there.
Yeah.
You'd get it'd be ugly. It'd be bad. Yeah. But let's just say all this is going to hell.
Okay.
Okay. Freemasonry.
Yes.
We still would want to survive. We'd still want to do our thing. We'd still want to be charitable. We'd still want to protect brothers and their families. And so, Ken, let me ask you, where do you think in these early stages of this horseshit show of a
hypothetical
rebellion, civil war, what happens with Masonry?
Okay, well... I guess, see, the reason that I was asking whether the rebels, if you will, the group that decided to secede away from the control of the U.S. government had some kind of central government that they're following is because during your entered apprentice degree, and I won't go into the particulars, but you're given a charge at the end of your entered apprentice degree. And part of that charge says that you will cheerfully conform to the laws of the nation in which you reside. Or the government of the nation in which you reside. Something to that effect. Okay, so if you have... And I think... I remember at one point we were going to go back and see like where the origin of that particular line of the charge came from in history. Because, you know, if you believe that the nation whose laws you're under the jurisdiction of is different than the U.S. government, let's say the Confederacy or whatever this hypothetical rebellion government is, then you are conforming to the laws of the nation in which you reside. So you're not violating any kind of charge if that's your thinking.
Right.
Right. So that was my first concern, was if this kind of thing happened and you're a Freemason, if you engage in it, right?
Right.
Then you're, you know, you could be in danger of violating your obligations or something. But I don't Correct. See that as a thing. And you know what? Even during the American Revolution, they were probably like, you know what? England is not our government. This new United States of America is our government. So even if they had that line in their charge, they could reconcile it that way. Mm. So, would Freemasonry here? I don't think it would just dry up, right? Because there's precedent for this. We have the American Revolution. We have the Civil War, the American Civil War. And Freemasonry was alive and well,
right?
Especially in military lodges. And, you know, in some cases, you had brothers from different sides of, you know, the Civil War meeting in lodge together.
Right.
I don't think there would be, it wouldn't throw Freemasonry into conflict and disarray. Not any more than, you know, we're already seeing today. So
I'm going to take the opposite to that.
Okay.
And here's why. Couple years ago. Was it a year ago? 2 years ago? Year ago. 2 years ago. Whatever. A Grand Lodge, particular Grand Lodge, came out with a statement about Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
I'm not getting into the specifics. You believe whatever you want. I don't care. But they came out with a statement. And if you remember, the way it was worded sparked a, let's just say,
There was
controversy. A sect of debate. People yeah. who have a particular profession were extremely pissed off about it.
Right.
So what I think would happen, and this is just my own personal belief, Grand Lodges, if this is happening right now, I believe that Grand Lodges would send out an edict and or a statement saying that Masons are to remain neutral and out of this. They are to be respectful to the government. They like kind of what you were just saying.
Okay. All right.
So here's where the conundrum happens. Okay.
It's a volunteer organization.
Being a no.
Okay. All right.
Entered Apprentice says you are to be peaceable to your country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The problem is when you have there are people who have a very clear distinction between loving their country and loving their government.
Right.
So what you're going to have is, yeah, I'm protecting my country, but up my government's caboose, if you will.
Right. And the definition of both kind of shift during times of rebellion.
You're going to have Masons who are, yes, absolutely, I'm going to respect I'm going to be peaceable to this and that and everything. And then you're going to have the Masons who are going to say, nah, F that. Like, I love my country. I'm going to defend my country. And these tyrants are the government, but I love my country. So in their heads, they're going to spin it around and say, well, not spin it around. I'm going to say spin it around, but their perspective, if you will,
right.
is yeah. I am protecting my country.
Yep.
Now, here's another problem, that there is a particular part of our ritual that says that your obligations will conflict nothing that will do with your country, your neighbor.
Well, your duties to those things. Yeah.
God
yep.
or yourself. Yep. So this is where me and Joe disagree, because he's like, well, you're violating Masonic degree. But the shirt that I'm wearing is the oath that I took when I became a Marine.
Okay.
So in a sense,
I see what you're saying. Yep.
Masonry shouldn't conflict with my duty to God, country, neighbor, or self, right? So
it shouldn't.
This obligation right here that's on my shirt is saying, like, you get what I'm saying, though? Like, I'm in conflict.
Right. So these obligations that we took, they were written by groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the interpretation of whether or not you're in violation of those particular oaths is up to the interpretation of people.
Right.
All
right.
So that's where this is where
your problem is going to have.
Yeah.
So you're going to have one of two things. Though I don't believe that it will actually happen in an open lodge during a tiled lodge. Now I don't say open lodge. Tiled lodge, right?
Right. Yeah.
Same thing. Right?
It's the same open thing. It's an open lodge when it's tiled, yeah.
But you're going to have Masons who, after lodge, are going to talk about this edict or statement that the Grand Lodge came out, and what you're going to have is you're going to have fights after Lodge. You're going to have Masons fall away from Lodge because they're like, nah, I'm good. I don't need to go back there because I know what I stand for. So I believe it will affect Masonry in a very negative way where brothers cannot, at least initially,
well,
see eye to eye, if you will, in regards to this. You're going to have Masons that are going to definitely take up arms. I mean, you can't sit here and say, no Mason's going to take up arms. Wrong. Yeah. Wrong. You're going to have Masons in the rebellion. Absolutely.
Well,
Sons of Liberty is a perfect example of it.
And the bottom line is, look, we are a volunteer organization. So if somebody decides, or if the interpreting body decides, like, yep, you're in violation of your obligation if you decide to join this particular uprising, and people go do it. Maybe you're not a Mason anymore, but hey, you have the tough decision to make, and you chose to resolve the conflict by not being a Mason anymore. There's always that option too.
Let me also elaborate to this. Now we're sitting there saying that, you're not a Mason anymore. No, you don't have a card anymore. You're still a Mason because on a battlefield,
right?
You know, if you meet a brother and he gives a certain particular sign,
right. Right, so the grand jurisdiction may have a problem, but
You don't have it. They may revoke your dues card,
right.
But let's say you're having and somebody decides to yell a particular grand hailing sign of distress, and there's another Mason there, even though he doesn't have a card, he's probably going to go run to the relief of that brother, even if he's on the other side of the freaking fence.
Yep.
So that particularly, I think, is I don't care. I've said it before. I think I've said it in a way. I don't care about my card. I know what I am in my heart. That's where you're first prepared to be Mason, in your heart.
Right.
So I don't give a damn about your little card that's in my wallet. Like, I'm still a Mason. You're never going to take that away from me. I know what I stand for and everything. You know, Masons are going to fight. They're going to disagree. But in the end, we all look at each other as family.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's something that outsiders will never understand.
Right.
That I may be super pissed off at you about something, but in the end, if you ask me for help, I'm gonna be there.
Yeah,
and that's something,
because it's still family.
Still family.
Sometimes you hate your family members too. But if they're in distress, you run to their aid. That's what
absolutely.
You would do. So yeah.
And let me just say, there are some Masons that I don't particularly get along with.
Well, but I mean, we're human, right?
Of course we are.
Yeah,
we may disagree on many things, but if there ever came a time where that particular said brother came up and said, hey man, like, I can't feed my family this week.
Yeah.
You bet your ass I'm going to be there.
Yep.
End of story. It's not even a discussion. It's done. So also what I also think in this whole conundrum, if you will, quagmire, you're going to see lodges specifically grand lodges are going to, you talk NPDs are bad now. Whew.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of NPDs. Well, you're going to have a lot of people not paying their dues for multiple reasons. One, shit has hit the fan.
Right.
And money is going to become extremely hard if it even has any meaning at this point.
It could be. I mean, a lot of people could lose jobs because that section of the economy could dry up if there's open conflict going on or something. So, people are going to be in dire financial straits. One of those things that you mentioned about, you know, brothers after Lodge getting into arguments and stuff if they're on one side of the fence versus the other.
Which should never happen.
Yeah, so. I was just going to say, in an ideal world, that should not happen. Right. So, like, the optimist Mason in me says, no, you're wrong. I mean, that's not going to happen. We would have open discourse, polite discourse, which we as gentlemen are supposed to be able to do. I mean, that's one of the beauties of Freemasonry. But you're probably right. You're a more pragmatic person than I am, and there's going to be dissension.
I'm just throwing this out there, though. If it's done in a group setting, I would hope that another Mason would be like, you go that way, you go that way. Let's chill out. Like, let's just call it. Let's end the conversation.
Yeah.
And that's happened before. It's happened in this lodge before when we've had discussion. Let's just drop it.
Yeah.
Just drop it.
Happens everywhere.
And then you come back 2 weeks later when we have our next meeting, and it's like,
and people don't care anymore. Yeah, they've cooled down.
You've cooled down. Yeah, 72-hour rule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That happens everywhere.
It's
not unique to this lodge or any other lodge.
Joseph Schultz, bank accounts will be frozen by the government. Anybody who rebelled. True. But
so martial law. Like, how does that work financially? Is when they declare martial law? Control over the banks?
I don't believe so. Martial law is more along the lines of military coming in, setting a curfew. Everybody's got to be in their houses by 9 o'clock.
So it's control, but it's not it's control. Financial control.
It may be checkpoints in and out of towns, checkpoints on highways.
Show me your papers.
Show me your papers.
Right.
The papers.
I was trying to do it in a Russian accent, but I don't have a Russian accent.
I don't have a Russian accent.
I have like no accents.
I went full German on that one. I apologize.
Yeah, I know. That's dark, man. That's real dark.
What was I going to say, though? The other side of that, the whole financial thing, even if it were Worship Brother Joseph Schultz is saying, even if they don't close the bank accounts or freeze your accounts, they got to find that. They have to first determine you're a rebel. And realistically, if shit hit the fan, it's going to be very, very tough for the government to find out exactly who, in a large setting group, who is the bad guys and who are the culprits.
Under those emergency powers, they may not have to have that level of discrimination.
They probably won't.
You smell like a terrorist, right? You'd be a domestic terrorist, basically. That's
on the flip side of it. We were talking about in Grand Lodges losing money and people not paying their dues and everything. There'd be two reasons why they wouldn't pay their dues. One is because they can't. They just,
right.
I need the money. I gotta feed my family.
Yeah.
Two is because they're like, ma fangu. I ain't paying my dues because the Grand Lodge came out with this freaking edict. So,
right, yeah, you probably
stick it up their ass.
You get a lot of MPDs.
You're going to get a lot of MPDs from that too. Yeah. I was bringing up to a little just a minute ago. I said I have a 72-hour rule. I hold my tongue. I try to hold my tongue for 72 hours. Try to. I'm talking about not when I go blast on this thing and freaking go on my rants and raves and stuff. I'm talking about when I actually have an altercation
with somebody,
with a brother or anybody.
All right.
I generally hold. I try to try. Again, we're all Masons.
Right. Yeah. I know.
Try to hold my tongue for 72 hours.
Yeah.
Because if I throw gasoline on the fire, I've made it worse.
Yeah.
I could potentially make it worse. Yeah, and I may be 1,000% in the right.
You kind of have a temper too, so that doesn't help, you know.
If I'm 1,000% in the right, and I continue to add insult to injury, it's only going to make it worse. Because now the other person who may have been like, "Yeah, George is right," I think I'm going to talk to him. Now at the end, he's going to be like,
"Now it's hostility." Yeah,
yeah, yep. It's hostility.
Yep.
Flip side of it though, if I'm wrong, there's so many times I sat back like, "Damn." I'm going to have to eat crow and it tastes like shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We've talked about many of those situations here on the show. Joe Schultz is asking some really good questions here.
Yeah. He said if they can track your vaccination status, now they can track your political motives. Yeah. But you know what though? When you go on the freaking
machine learning,
when you go on the fake book or whatever the hell, they already know it.
Oh yeah. They know exactly where you are. They're like, oh, enter your political beliefs. It's like, yeah, we already know.
Yeah.
It's just, you can put whatever you want there. We don't care.
Besides all that, you know, I think the 72-hour rule is a good one because you get a lot of calming down. Does it work all the time? No. There's still people who are still hot and ready to go after 72 hours. But so what I feel it would happen is initially you're going to have a fall, like a real, real fast fall of lodges, which is going to hurt things like our Masonicare. They're not getting funded. Yeah. You're going to have, Shriners hospitals. There's going to be a lot. It's going to be bad.
We're also making an assumption here that Grand Lodges would take a stand, on an issue like this.
Correct. I mean, in a weird way, I don't know how they couldn't.
I mean, they're under no obligation to say one thing or another.
No, they're not.
Just remain silent. I mean, I don't know what happened during the American Revolution or during the Civil War, but I don't. I'd love to go back. You know what? We could go back into the archives and we could look if anything was released on it, but I don't think anything was.
You know, it's funny because I've went through the minutes of Morningstar Lodge and I went back to when did I go? I did 1912 and I looked into not 1912, 1812. Okay. And I looked into around 1840s, 50s.
Yeah, so you're in Civil War era there. Correct. Kind of. You didn't see anything, right? There was no...
Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember seeing anything like that in any of our archives or any of the... whenever the historian came up in the past and did a... let's look back at this year. I don't remember hearing anything like that. And I would think if something like that was released, then it would be like we would know about it.
Right.
Mm. Between you looking at your lodge, right. we're both under the jurisdiction of the Grand Lodge of Connecticut. We would know. So
it'd be something, right?
So I don't know. Maybe times have changed and they have to take a stand.
Now, see,
I don't know.
Maybe, and I'm not being cute by saying this, but maybe there was a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Or maybe, you know, politics and, or what's going on in the world is just not Freemasonry's place to comment on back then. I don't know. Maybe.
And that's why I think that, and this is my opinion, if something like this was ever to happen, and I think in all type of events going on, the Grand Lodges should STFU.
Hmm.
Reason being is because you have many Masons who are of one belief, and you have Masons that are another belief, and you have different Masons, but it doesn't have anything to do with Masonry in itself.
Right.
You can still be a good Mason and hold a different opinion than another Mason,
yep.
which is why I think Grand Lodges, again, need to STFU in this situation and other situations, because there should have a don't ask, don't tell policy. They really should.
I don't know if I would label it that, but
yeah. I am yet labeling it that, because realistically,
it's none of your business.
It's none of your business.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, we're all adults. So, we can make our own decisions. We don't need some governing body telling us what to believe. And yeah, I mean, I do agree with you.
I mean, think about it this way, right? Think about, let's go back to the Civil War, right? Many lodges were still open, right? Mm-hmm. Do you really want to disrupt lodges by taking a political stance against a Civil War?
Right, and what better,
brothers have different opinions.
More importantly, what benefit would it serve the Grand Lodge to do
it really
that, to take a stand? Yeah, I can't see
stay
an
stay out of it.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, Ken comes in the lodge and Morningstar Lodge, and you know, let's just say, I mean, I'm being funny here, but let's say this whole Civil War thing happened, or this Second American Civil War thing happened. I mean, you come into lodge in camos and everything. You got camo pants on. How about that?
Camo,
you know?
Shorts and my NASA shirt.
Maybe your knees are a little dirty.
Yeah, I would be the first one to fall.
They'd no,
be
no,
like, goddamn
but
Tory.
I'm saying, I don't think that I'd be like, hey, Ken, how was your afternoon? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I know what's going on in the outside world. I'm not going to question what Mr. Ken was up to.
Shut up. Gardening. Aggressive gardening. Mind your own goddamn business.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe Grand Lodges back in the original Civil War. I mean, see, the original Civil, the American Civil War was very difficult because we were in Connecticut. There was a definitive line that was drawn. You know, let's go to
it was below Connecticut,
way below Connecticut.
Yeah.
But let's compare it to the American Civil War. That's probably our better gauge. If
you
I
mean
were,
the American Revolution?
Revolutionary War.
Okay, yeah,
American
yeah.
Revolution.
All right.
Better gauge because you had Tories and Patriots intermixed. I'm sure that happened in lodges too.
Yeah.
So my assumption.
An insurgency. Like it was difficult to tell who from who, and that's why.
I almost guarantee
so
you
successful.
That the. I don't know. I think there were Grand Lodges. I bet you they had a don't ask, don't tell policy, because what it'll end up happening is it will hurt the lodges and Grand Lodges.
So we'd have to look around for that. My lodge was founded just after the American Revolution. I'm sure you guys were probably in the same area there, right? Either 1800 or late 1700s.
What do you mean?
Morningstar Lodge.
1804.
1804, yeah. So we were 1797, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah.
So we don't have records that go back far enough to really look. And
you
see.
Predated us by six lodges.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
I mean, we could look
lodges.
At. We would have to talk to some of our brothers that are in some of the older lodges in Connecticut. Hiram One down in New Haven definitely predated Grand Lodge, and I believe was prior to the American Revolution. It must have been because Benedict Arnold was a member of that lodge,
right?
But yeah, it would be great. Them. It would be great to see if they have records going back that far, and if we could investigate and see if you know. Well, I mean, there was no Grand Lodge. Yeah, they were under the jurisdiction of the Grand Lodge of Boston
one.
Or Scotland or something, right?
No. England.
England, right. So, yeah, I mean, they would probably have an opinion on that. They'd be like, none of you colonists are to go out into the streets.
But realistically, I bet you, I'm willing to bet that
the lodge had something to say.
Brits were coming. Yeah. They were Brits were coming to that to King Hiram One, who were stationed here in Connecticut at the time.
Billeted troops,
sitting with patriots, and I bet you they never spoke a word because that's not what masonry is about. They spoke about it. We were brothers, and that's that. What happens when we leave Lodge? Different story.
Yep. And you know what? It would be really difficult.
That's how I think it went.
Yeah. And you're probably right. It would just be so difficult to glean that from Lodge records, right? Because
if you go to our Lodge records, nothing's written.
Exactly. Ah, nothing is said about it, right?
Ken was there. Yeah. George was there.
Yeah. So you'd have to look at these guys and you'd have to like look back into their history and see what their, you know, what their persuasion was back, you know, at that particular time that they were meeting. But you're probably absolutely right.
And I think that's how, if this alternate universe was ever to happen, that'd be the best course of action for Grand Lodges, to just be like, we're not talking about it. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about any of this stuff. We go as brothers. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
And that's the, I think, me personally, that's the only way that Grand Lodges and Masonry would survive, is if they just kept a neutral cap on it. We're not talking about it. Don't bring it up in Lodges.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, if you bring up that you're a rebel or you're a whatever, you know, if you're a Tory or a patriot, if you bring it up, you're out.
Yeah.
You get tossed out. You get expelled. End of story. That's probably the best course of action that any Grand Lodge to keep Masonry alive would work.
Is just say, hey, what, you know, you're barring the barring of talking politics or religion in open lodge now extends to the common area after lodge.
Right.
End of story.
End of story. Yeah. Leave it alone. You bring it up, you're out. End of story. Joseph Schultz, I bet Grand Lodges would stop recognizing others, making it impossible for all of us to do that.
So that's a tough one. That probably happened during the Civil War, but I think Masons still probably sat and lodged together.
Oh, yeah. That happened between Southern and Northern Masons in the Civil War.
Right. There was no recognition again during that time.
There is no hierarchy or piece of paper that's going to sit there and tell me that I'm not a Mason. Again, were you first prepared to be Mason? In my heart.
Yep.
And I will always conduct myself as such. Minus the tattoo that doesn't come off. But you get my point.
Yeah, that tattoo. Well, I mean, it could.
Oh, but yeah, it could. Yeah.
I have some ideas.
I know. But realistically, I don't care about the piece of paper in my wallet. That doesn't make me a Mason. It's a piece of paper.
Yep.
Joseph Schultz, damn you, you're getting ahead of me, but I'm picking up what you're putting down here. He said, how would Freemasonry help reconcile afterwards? And I was actually going to get into that.
Yep.
It is of my opinion that that's exactly how the hostilities would come to an end. It wouldn't be a clear winner, because realistically, in a civil war, there is no clear winners. Especially in this style of modern civil war.
You know, what's civil about war, anyway? You know, that's one of my favorite songs of all time. I had to slip down there eventually.
How would it reconcile after? I think that's how it would happen.
Yeah, I think Freemasonry could take center stage.
I think you have, and I'm not exactly sure of who is left in our government or in politics that is a Freemason. But my assumption would be, it doesn't have to be a Freemason, but somebody who thinks like us. It's going to take people who think like us, like, listen, this isn't worth it. You know, we need to sit down. We can disagree. You know, and I think personally it would happen at a very local level is where this would start.
Right.
Freemasonry would definitely, my hope would be, is that Freemasonry would use the swaths of money that it has in stocks and bonds. Because realistically, I think what would happen is if this was to happen, the stock market would crash instantly. And you'd see every trustee of every lodge at the bank instantly withdrawing money.
Yeah.
I think they would definitely do the old freaking put it in a tin coffee can. And, I pulled my headphones out.
Hey, we're still good, though. If I look over here, our levels are still good. You just can't hear yourself.
I hear myself now.
Just take your headphones off.
So I think that you would definitely have people sticking it in the old tin coffee can and bury it in the backyard a lot more. But I think that Freemasonry would go on a campaign. I would hope Freemasons would go on a campaign to call for an end to hostilities.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. I think that would be part of the solution to the problem, and I think Freemasons would be involved. The whole tin cup thing, though, or tin coffee can buried. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I was being smart. Is there
historical? Well, no, I'm just trying to think if there's like historical precedent for that, because the beauty of Freemasonry is it goes back so far, right? So we can look back at history when similar things have happened and be like, oh, hey, did this ever happen in Freemasonry? And did we ever withdraw all of the money from our investments during the stock market crash in the 30s?
Joseph Schultz, during the American Civil War, Northern Grand Lodges sent money to Southern Grand Lodges as the Southern currency was worthless to help keep it alive.
Oh.
So I think you would see a lot of that going on. I also think you would see the discussions or the peace type things mm-hmm. being done in a much different manner than the way our government conducts itself.
Yep. Yeah.
Was Joseph, there a Grand Lodge of the...
Yeah, so the answer to that, Joseph Van Hove, yes. Was there a Grand Lodge of the Confederate States of America? And the answer there is no, because nope. the states have always had individual Grand Lodges in the United States of America, or in the Confederate States of America, as it turned out. Yep. But so the states were really the ones that had the individual Grand Lodges. So no, there was never any governing body all of the South during
Civil
War. So.
Still not to this day. Every state lies, every Grand Lodge of every state of the Union, if you will, they lie independent. Each Grand Lodge runs its own state, and that's that.
Good old Worshipful Brother George came up with that. Not this right Worshipful Brother George, but Worshipful Brother George Washington actually was a big proponent of states' rights, and that's how he wanted the Grand Lodges to be set up and so they were.
So what ended up happening was he was offered to be, they were going to form a Grand Lodge of the United States of America, and he said, no, every state should be independent.
Mm-hmm.
Would Freemasons be seen as a threat to any kind of movement? Now, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean... This is a convoluted one because there's so much bullshit on the internet that we're already the NWO.
Well, and there's also there's precedent there for Freemasons to be signaled out as dissidents in history when there were different things going on.
Right.
Sometimes they might have been, and sometimes they weren't. They were like unfairly persecuted. So,
yeah, would they be seen as a threat to any kind of movement? Meaning, counter movement against the government? Is that what he's saying? Or do you mean a threat to the government of the United States? I think the government of the United States pretty much knows who the hell we are. We're a charitable organization that's a not-for-profit. Yeah. They know we ain't doing anything.
Unless the nature of the U.S. government changed significantly, I couldn't see them ever, you know.
No. I would say more so than anything that the Freemasons are benign. The Freemason is a different story. Because every Freeman, they're an individual, and they can have their own opinions. There's no Grand Lodge that, and I don't care what conspiracy theorists say. We are all independent thinkers. We all do our own thing as Masons. Ken has different opinions than me. Joe has definitely different opinions than me, and I think it would boil more down to the independent Mason. And again, perfect example. Again, it was the Sons of Liberty.
Yeah, and their own interpretation of their obligations.
They were part of St. Andrew's Lodge number 2 in Boston.
Yep.
The Green Dragon Tavern. But the Sons of Liberty were Masons inside of the lodge who decided to go throw a tea party and dress like Apaches.
Right.
And,
I don't know that they were deciding that.
It wasn't done in lodge, but they all were Masons. They went downstairs, they got loaded. Let's go throw some freaking tea! Yeah. Got all loaded at the bar, and then next thing you know...
This is U.S. history according to George.
Yeah, I'm not putting as eloquently as other people, but I mean, realistically, that's kind of what happened.
Yep.
Again, I put things in we... on this podcast, put things in real perspective rather than the majestic readings of, you know, other people, right? I think we put it more in a realistic light than,
well, yeah, I mean,
just giving you the facts and details.
We're normal folks. We're not scholars, so it's pretty much the only way we can do it.
Dictators up to no good are the first to ban us.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, historically, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Right, because if you can get together and be a free thinker with other, you know, folks of like mind, that's an organization that they don't want kicking around. Yeah, especially ones that close their doors and they can't be in.
Not sure why I didn't think of that, though. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Well, cool. Nothing to be sorry about. We love throwing things around here, and especially when you write comments like that. Was there ever a Grand Lodge of the Confederate States of America? Those who are interested in Freemasonry, who know nothing about it and are curious about it, are probably asked that same question. And
honestly, Joe,
you did us a solid, Joe.
We just jumped on that one because we knew the answer. The rest of these, we have no freaking idea.
No, so this is all just... So I also think that, I think we could probably pretty much put a cap on this in a little bit, but I think one of the other things you're going to start seeing is you would see Freemasons being, and I've said it before in regards to, what was the other one we did? The Apocalypse or whatever?
Yeah, Freemasonry and the Apocalypse.
You we would did the see
Cybermen.
You would see
AI thing.
You would see Freemasonry being the lodges would end up being shelters, homes, protective areas where you would see Freemasons armed to the goddamn teeth, and I know quite a few of them who are armed to the teeth.
I think some would be and some wouldn't, but even when there's natural disasters, you'll see lodges open up in those kinds of areas if there's a flood or an earthquake, and they... You know,
but I'm saying
make sure that their community is safe.
You would see
the same kind of
thing. You'd see the same kind of thing where we'd be helping the local communities, probably doing food drives, but you know, we cook food and
food, clothing. Hey, come into our common area and set up a cot, you know.
Yeah, if you got nowhere to go, your house got freaking burned to the ground or shelled or whatever the case may be, or a drone strike or something like that. I mean, if it's the Biden administration, he's definitely dropping it on civilians. I'm kidding. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
We're gonna get that.
I let you have the Civil War Guns N' Roses thing.
That in post production, guys. Sorry.
I say things sometimes, Ken, just to watch you squirm.
We did so well up until now. I mean, we're 54 minutes into this program.
I love watching you squirm. I sometimes do things just intentionally. Anyway. That's how I see Freemasonry really being a benefit during the height of the conflict is being more of a protector, and I don't know if we'd use the word, but big brother protector of like innocence and stuff like that. I think that's what be.
Yeah, I mean those are the obligations that we took, right? To protect the innocent and to render aid when we can,
be a service to your community,
and to be charitable. I mean,
there's
that's
Muppet George. Yeah, he's over there, the son of a bitch.
Muppet George. Like Muppet George better than Puppet George. Way to go, Lynx. Good name. He's got a new name now.
It's all right.
It's Muppet George now. He needs beadier eyes, though. He needs, like, the big black beady eyes.
What do you mean? Muppets I got have. Black beady eyes? What am I, freaking possessed?
Well, no, that's what Muppets have. They always have those beady eyes. They're not like this. They're not, like, stylized with the whites around them and stuff. They're
so I had a job interview a couple days ago.
Oh, congratulations.
I'm driving in the car and looking at myself in the mirror, making sure I don't look like a smash bag, right, if you will.
Boiled dog crap.
Boiled dog shit. Yeah, right. And I'm looking at my shirt. And I'm wearing a blue shirt with a yellow tie. And the first thing I thought of,
it was Puppet George.
I look like the freaking puppet. I swear to God, I'm like, oh my God.
Did you have your past master's apron on? Or your
No. It
was district just deputy's apron.
Black pants, blue shirt. Yellow tie.
You look like Puppet
and
George.
And I actually said to myself, I'm like, I look like that guy.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm sure whoever was interviewing you Googled your name. The Freemasons podcast came up, and they know exactly what that puppet. And they were like, oh, God.
That's why I didn't get the job.
And they watched a couple episodes, and they're like, yeah, F this guy.
Yeah, no, this guy's out of his mind.
This is why we can never get different jobs.
Draw them on with the emergency crayons.
Draw them on the emergency crayons. Okay, we could do that.
He's
talking about like putting the beady eyes on.
Yeah,
George, we could do that.
Emergency crayons. He's taking a jar headshot too. Yeah. All right.
I know you have a pack in your back pocket there. You got some emergency Crayolas kicking around there.
I really miss the puppet sketches. Yeah, we've been we've been quite busy, but I think we have some things planned. We have some We have some ideas that we've got in the works.
And we got better equipment now, too, so that we can actually...
We got a whole Halloween thing I don't know if you know about yet. The whole Halloween...
You know, you guys are probably going to tell me to do something. I'm going to show up, and you guys are going to decide between the two of you to do some other costume or some other theme or something, just like last year.
Three years ago, we've been listening to this shit, and you still
going
on.
Was it 3 years
ago? 3 years ago. You're still drumming on about this.
Jesus Christ.
You don't got hard feelings or anything, do you?
Has it been that long?
I don't hold anyway.
I mean, what is that? Is there a party going on out there?
Is like an 80s hair band driving by?
It looked like he was in a band. That was awesome.
Really?
Nice. Wow, we're missing all the good
stuff. He's not even playing music. He's probably just in his car singing.
Yeah.
You hear him?
I love it.
It's awesome. That's what we ought to do.
Let's go join his party.
We should just take the camera and stick it out the window here. And what did you call it before, Hannah?
People watch. We'll just
do a whole podcast of people watching.
Unfortunately, broadcasting that over the internet is probably illegal in some way. So maybe we could just watch and describe.
How is it illegal?
To film people and broadcast it over the internet? Well, actually, wait, never mind. I'm wrong.
Seriously? Yeah.
They
do it all the time.
I couldn't put two and two together. I was thinking about like
if
surveillance.
If that was the cop, you would never. Never have the girls in the cars.
Yeah,
yelling at cops videos.
I know. But I was thinking like surveillance cameras.
You're a Mexican racist. You remember that video?
Yeah, that was a good one. In your house, if you have surveillance cameras, you can't point them at the neighbors. Like they have to.
Yes, you can.
No, there's a law against
that. Yes, you can. I caught my neighbor littering in front of my house, and I called the cops.
And the cops were like, yeah, you can film your neighbor.
Douche. Okay. Douche canoe. So we had it coming.
Let's end this so that we can talk about this offline.
This is what people tune in for.
Oh, really?
This is what starts civil wars.
No.
Neighbors who litter in front of others' houses.
No, this is what causes you to build a fence between your neighbor's house and yours so that you don't have to
barbed wire.
These kinds of things. Concertina wire. I'll help you do it.
Concertina wire and claymores.
Concertina, yeah. Yeah, we can. Call me up. We'll set this stuff up.
Call it the Freemasons Podcast Nature Cam. Daniel Valdez, that's ingenious. Let's do it.
Freemasons Podcast Nature Cam.
We should do it.
Right, yeah, we're just filming squirrels.
There's a guy outside here right now.
We're looking for Naugatuck squirrels.
Quiet. There's a guy out here right now. He's wearing jeans, short sleeve shirt, and a scarf. That's it.
Okay. That's it.
How hot is it right now?
I mean, I don't know. I'm wearing shorts, too.
Mid-80s?
Yeah.
Why the scarf?
Fashion.
What?
Fashion. Okay. You know, like, do I have to define the term for you? Fashion.
You're in downtown Seymour. This is in NYC.
Look, this is a pretty posh area. Right across the street, for example, we have...
The hair place that all you hear is...
And then fights
and everything, and then we watch a drug deal that happened a couple days ago?
Well, I mean, there were those things, too. But also, this is a very famous
area
for...
You have no idea how bad I was like... I just was looking out the window watching this go down, and I'm like... I so badly want to be like, hey, what are you guys doing?
There are a lot of antique stores around here in downtown Seymour. So, you know, aside from the drug deals and the drunk people meandering down the road, there's a lot of...
Here comes a Karen and a Deborah now.
What's a Karen and a Deborah?
You don't know what a Karen and a Deborah is?
Oh, okay. I see.
I got these doilies for $37 a piece.
We're really going to do this right now. We're really going to... Look out the window.
I'm having a blast with this.
People watch all the antiquers out there and then like
this
describe
is so
them.
Much fun.
Okay. The scarf does complete the outfit.
You know what I like to do from this window?
Correct.
You know what I like to do from this window over here though?
What?
I just like to go hi and then I hide around the corner, like right over here, like right against the wall here. And then just watch everybody looking up at the windows trying to figure out who the hell said hi and never let them know it was me. I'm a terrorist. I don't know what to tell you.
That's not even you must have been the kid that like prank called people or prank called the pizza place. Like, were you that guy?
No. Anyway, what do you say?
This has been the end of it.
Yeah. A little bit of goofing
around.
Sorry
you guys had to tolerate all
that. Oh, will you stop it? I got to deal with this guy all the time who gives me a broken chair.
Wow, it's a lot worse now.
Yes, it is.
All right, we'll fix
it. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you guys had fun. This has been interesting. Hey, love to hear your comments and thoughts on this?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have an older lodge and you can go back and look at either the Civil or the, you know, God, the Revolutionary War and see if, you know, if anything that we talked about resonates or if there was any kind of edict from your Grand Lodge, please let us know. That would be awesome. We know that Grand Lodge of Connecticut didn't seem to have anything to say on the subject. So
even if you think, even if you're part of the naysayer crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think we're all haters and whatnot.
Yeah, if you think we're insane, let us know that too.
Yeah.
We'll take that feedback.
But don't just say we're insane. Tell us your thoughts. Love to know.
Tell us why.
Don't care. Like, subscribe, share.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Smash that like button.
All right, Kenny. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
For the Freemasons Podcast, I'm Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry, signing off.
And Worshipful Brother Ken, signing off.
Almost forgot my goddamn name there. I almost forgot my own name.
It's disturbing, man.
It's because I'm people watching.
It's got cotton.
I'm people watching.
All right.
All right. Where Deborah and Karen go. All right.
All right,
have a good night, everyone.
We're going to go check this
out.
Have a good night, everyone. Thank you for listening. Yeah.